What are the time frames for disputes at the CCMA? This is Stuff Employers Should Know.
Welcome to Stuff Employers Should Know, proudly brought to you by LabourNet, management's ultimate HR solution.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast.
I'm back.
Oh, well, this is awkward. Welcome back, BGD. We missed you last week, man.
Welcome to Stuff Employers Should Know. I'm Barry Gordon Davis, and trying to take over my lines is audio producer Yasser Yaslaket Ismail. It's good to be back.
Yeah, good for you. So, Mr. BGD, what are we discussing today?
Okay, on today's episode, we are going to be talking about the referral process of disputes to the CCMA and all the timeframes revolving around disputes that go through the CCMA in particular. Now, a lot of the processes and procedures are identical in bargaining councils, but for the purposes of today's episode, everything relates to the CCMA and the CCMA's rules. We did an episode on what to do when you receive a referral to the CCMA as an employer. And in this one, I want to focus a little bit more in the detail relating to the process of the dispute and all the time frames that are involved in the dispute. So first of all, disclaimer for today's episode is that we must understand that when we refer to rules, I'm going to be talking about CCMA rules that are gazetted. And when we are talking about the Act, I'm talking about the Labor Relations Act and what is prescribed as part of the process in the Labor Relations Act. Another disclaimer is that we need to understand that the CCMA rules change. So they'll be gazetted. It's not an annual thing that gets done. It's as and when required. And we saw that the latest rules of the CCMA were implemented on the 1st of March 2020. And those are the rules that I'll be talking about. So we know that there are a lot of different types of disputes, and the CCMA is continuously expanding its scope as to the nature of the disputes that it has jurisdiction over trying to resolve. And just to give an overview of the CCMA processes. First of all, they have one type of process which is referred to as conciliation, and then we have arbitration, and one that most likely most employers, should they be taken to the CCMA, would see is a con-arb process, which is effectively a combination of conciliation and arbitration. So conciliation can be described as a process where a conciliator appointed by the CCMA, a bargaining or statutory council, or even an accredited agency helps parties to a dispute try and reach a settlement by any consensus building process, generally mediation. Arbitration is where ish gets real. And that's when the tape recorder goes on and evidence is presented, and it's where the parties or their representatives present evidence and argument to an impartial third party, the commissioner in this instance, who then makes a decision which is final and binding upon them. So con-arb would mean that the same process of conciliation and arbitration will occur under the exact same, on the exact same date and with the exact same commissioner. So let's start off with some time frames. And before we get into the actual timeframes, we need to understand how these timeframes are calculated. So when we refer to CCMA rules, the CCMA rules on how to determine or calculate timeframes is for their rule purposes. Okay, so if the Labor Relations Act says that there's a time frames, this doesn't obviously govern them. It's only where there's CCMA rules. So for the purposes of calculating any period of time in terms of CCMA rules, a day means a calendar day, and the first day is excluded and the last day is included, except if that last day falls on a Saturday, Sunday, public holiday, or any day during the 16th of December to the 7th of January. So when we talk about referring disputes, that's the first time frames that we want to then discuss. And it's very, very important, because if a referring party falls out of this time frame, it means that the CCMA wouldn't automatically assume jurisdiction, and their referral would then, first of all, have to deal with a condonation application, which can then either be granted or declined by the CCMA, which then obviously rids them of jurisdiction. But they cannot just assume jurisdiction if it is then out of this time period. So where there is an alleged unfair dismissal, in terms of the Labor Relations Act, a referral of a dispute has to happen within 30 days of the alleged dismissal. where there is an alleged unfair labor practice in terms of the Labor Relations Act, a dispute has to be referred to the commission within 90 days of the act or the omission. If there is a matter of unfair discrimination or alleged case of unfair discrimination in terms of the Employment Equity Act, a matter has to be referred to the commission within 6 months of the act or the omission. Now, there are other types of disputes. An example would be the interpretation or application of the regulations of non-standard working, which is in terms of section 189A to C. So a section 198D dispute can be referred to the CCMA within 6 months of the act or omission. But the primary focus is obviously on those unfair dismissals and unfair labor practices. So, how is a dispute referred? And as I said, the time frames then are applicable, and a referring party has to fill in what is referred to as a 7.11 form, and it has to be correctly filled in. It has to, in order for it to be a valid referral, the document has to be correctly filled in, because if a referral is defective, the CCMA would not have jurisdiction to arbitrate the matter. In terms of the CCMA rules, how the matter is then served on the opposing party is also subject to specific methods that can be done, and then served on the CCMA in terms of specific channels that the CCMA will accept of it being served. If it's through any other channels, CCMA will see it as a defective referral. So if there is a, let's say, a referral and they are unable to provide proof that it's been served on the referring party, or there's any other defect, the CCMA would accept the referral. However, they will refuse to process it in terms of Rule 10, subsection 3 of the CCMA rules, because it needs to be signed and served. So they'll receive it, but then they will sit on it until the applicant can then go and prove that it has then correctly been served, or if a time frame is not met, that condonation application is then accompanied by it. And in terms of, and as I had said, the fact that there's certain channels is a rule. So if the applicant refers a dispute through other means or other channels that are not recognized in terms of Rule 1, subsection 2 of the CCMA, it would be a defective referral. It's effectively a defective referral, and that's a point that can be raised by a respondent. So once a dispute has been correctly and properly served on the other party and then filed with the commission will then allocate a case number to it. And in terms of Rule 12 of the CCMA, they may, even before conciliation, attempt to try and resolve the dispute by what they refer to as pre-conciliation. Now, that's where employers might receive that telephone call from the CCMA saying, listen, can we try and resolve the dispute? The client is trying to get their head around what the dispute is already. They might not even be expecting such a referral. We get calls quite often saying, wow, I received a phone call from the CCMA. It sounds a bit dodgy. I think it might even be a scam. However, it is something that the CCMA does do. They do try and resolve the disputes even before conciliation, which is the first step of trying to resolve a dispute, happens. And they are entitled to do so in terms of Rule 12 of CCMA rules. Now, the matter is set down for a con-arb, i.e. to try and fast-track justice. They will always set it down for a con-arb. And the only time that a con-arb does not occur is should either party object to the con-arb happening, i.e. that the conciliation and arbitration happen on the same day. So if a party and the applicant generally can object to a con-arb occurring by virtue of signing a specific section on the 7-11. However, a applicant or even a respondent in a matter may also object to a con-arb process from occurring if they then refer or submit an objection or deliver a written notice of objection that they have to serve on the applicant party or the other party, and then file with the commission at least 7 days prior to the scheduled date. If it's out of that date, con-arb would then still occur. However, where there are matters relating to probation and compliance orders, or even Section 73A disputes, which is matters owing, either party is then unable to object to CONARB, and the CONARB process is basically, in terms of the rules, meant to happen, and it's legislated to happen. So when we talk about conciliation and CONARB, in terms of Rule 11 of the CCMA, the Commission must notify parties in writing at least 14 days prior to the scheduled date. However, the Commission may give the parties a shorter period, but it has to be if the parties have agreed or if reasonable circumstances require a shorter period. It can't just be done on discretion. There has to be reasonable circumstances. So 14 days notice of a conciliation or a CONARB is then given to the parties. However, if notice to both parties is solely provided via registered mail, then the Commission, in terms of subsection 3 of Rule 11, would then have to add an additional 7 days. In terms of the Labour Relations Act, the CCMA is effectively duty-bound by the Labour Relations Act to resolve disputes within 30 days. So a commissioner is required to resolve these disputes within 30 days. So if they fail to do so, and the mediation or fact-finding or making recommendations fails, then they issue a certificate of non-resolution. That's when conciliation actually does happen. But why it's important to say that it has to happen within 30 days is that when conciliation fails or at the end of 30 days, in terms of Section 135, subsection 5 of the Labour Relations Act, a commissioner must then issue a certificate indicating that the dispute has or has not been resolved. And this then gives a referring party license to then apply for the matter to go to arbitration. So referring a matter to the arbitration effectively has to be done within 90 days of the certificate being issued. So a party has to then request or submit a request for arbitration to the commission in terms of a valid filled-in form, which is what we refer to as a 7.13 form. Again, if they fail to attach the appropriate documents, or there's no certificate of non-resolution, or 30 days hasn't passed, or the document is incorrectly filled in or not signed, or the parties are incorrectly filled in, it is then seen as a defective referral and the CCMA wouldn't have the jurisdiction to then arbitrate the matter. So these are things that we have to go and check and make sure that these documents by the applicant are correctly filled in. It has to contain a minimum amount of certain information to be deemed valid and must be signed by a duly appointed person provided by the CCMA rules. It can't just be signed by anybody. Also, for it to be valid, we have to attach proof that it's been correctly served on the other party and then correctly filed through the appropriate channels with the CCMA. Then when arbitration is set down, in terms of Rule 21, the Commission must provide at least 21 days notice prior to the scheduled date. And as with conciliation, if the parties do agree to a shorter period or reasonable circumstances require a shorter period, the Commission can then do so. And again, if it's through registered post only, additional 7 days must be allowed. So despite the fact that we've now conciliated the matter, there's been a referral to arbitration, in terms of the Labour Relations Act, specifically Section 138, subsection 3, despite that certificate, with agreement of both parties, a commissioner may suspend the arbitration proceedings and revert back to conciliation. This 99.9% of the time will happen. You sit down for arbitration, you're just about to begin, and the commission will say, do you mind if we revert back to conciliation? And attempt a, if the matter's been pre-conciliated, conciliated, now this is a final attempt to try and prevent the dispute from being resolved by a third party and giving the parties an opportunity to resolve the matter themselves through a mutual settlement. So once it's been concluded and the tape recorder finally goes off and all the evidence has been presented and closing arguments have been presented, in terms of the Labor Relations Acts, the commissioner must issue a written signed award within 14 days to both parties. And the commission serves this on both the parties to the proceedings. Then that means that there will be an award, which means that there's going to be a winner and a loser, you can call it that. So there will be an award against one party or an award against the other. If the applicant has proven their case, then it will be for their in their favor. And likewise, if the respondent has proven theirs, likewise in their favor. But both parties have the right, if they are unhappy with the let's say the matter or the proceedings, if they, let's say a party to the dispute alleges a defect in the award, they then have 6 weeks in terms of the Labor Relations Act to apply to the Labor Court for an order which would set aside the award and review. So it's effectively, they may not, and it needs to be specified that the parties don't apply for an appeal. It's not an appeal process. It is a review. Hence the need to go and establish a valid ground for a review in terms of there being a defect. Now, I know I've run through a lot of different time frames, time periods, but they are pertinent to a dispute resolution process occurring procedurally correct in terms of the rules. So it is imperative that a party to a dispute ensures that they adhere to the rules, or that the other party is adhering to the rules, and ensuring that where they are party to a dispute resolution process, that their dispute is handled in a procedurally correct and fair manner. So it's imperative that if you are have any questions with regards to any of the topics that I've discussed today, that you speak to your legal advisor, your consultant in terms of employment relations, or your litigator that will then assist you with all these time frames and potential defects in cases. So that concludes this episode of Stuff Employers Should Know. If you found today's episode helpful, please smash the like button and subscribe for all future episodes that come down the line. And write us a review. We really take those. We read every single review. We read every single mail that we receive, and it helps us push out quality content. You can hit us up on all the socials or send us an email at sesk@labornet.com. So from me, Barry, who's finally back in studio, and audio producer, Yas, till the next episode, stay safe and be well. Cheers.
Stuff Employers Should Know was proudly brought to you by LabourNet, management's ultimate HR solution. For more episodes from Stuff Employers Should Know, go to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you play your favorite shows. Case law or statutes referenced in the podcast are current at the time of recording.